Good morning. Weren't those some very deeply profound thoughts from Russell at the Lord's table today? And for the contribution as well, I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate Cameron's good leadership in the song service as well. It's been a very blessed morning. I was thinking before I got up here, I said, boy, I hope I don't blow it. It's been really good to be here this morning. So it's Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. So I got some serious things to say about that this morning. But first, a little levity. Question number one. When is Thanksgiving celebrated? The fourth Tuesday? Fourth Thursday, right? In November. Or perhaps after the in-laws leave. These are my favorite answers I'm going to add to the list. This was a quiz given to some children. What do we celebrate on Thanksgiving? That's an easy one, huh? There's lots of things to celebrate, but we celebrate what we're thankful for, or perhaps cranberry sauce, at least for me and for my family. Cranberry sauce is very wonderful. Why did the pilgrims come to North America? Not to get rich, not to see their families, but they came for religious freedom, right? Or my favorite answer on this is to experience Indian summers. Everybody groan now with that one. Question number four. The pilgrims sailed to a new world on a boat called... And there's one funny one in there. I don't know why I put that in there. Question number five. What year was the first Thanksgiving celebrated? You may not know that. 1863 was when Abraham Lincoln made it a federal holiday, but 1621 was when it was first celebrated, or as I like to say, who cares? Let's eat. And that's going to be something we do this Thursday. We're very fortunate and blessed to be able to do that with family. And it is a great day of Thanksgiving. Sometimes I wonder, perhaps, though, because we celebrate this one day out of the year like this, that we forget just how important Thanksgiving is every single day of the year. So what I thought I'd do this morning is, first of all, set the stage for our discussion by just looking at a few scriptures with you, starting out with 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, and then I want to take you to the Old Testament, to the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I want you to look with me at a book no one ever likes to look at, Leviticus. And we're going to observe the law of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we're going to try to make some practical applications from what the Lord teaches us. But in the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, we could go to the Old as well and see the same emphasis. There's such a strong emphasis on Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk about why that's so important to us as Christians this morning. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. To give thanks in all things, in everything, that leaves nothing out. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And then there's so many other scriptures very similar to that. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 15 and 16, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We certainly did that this morning. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, for it is all for your sake, the preaching of the gospel. It is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So no more fundamental point in the Scriptures, is there, than the idea of thanksgiving. We take a day out of every year and we celebrate it, but every Christian needs to recognize the importance of it in their daily life. And that's why I want to go to the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, talk about the peace offering, and particularly about the sacrifice of thanksgiving that is within the peace offering. There's basically five offerings in the book of Leviticus. Three are voluntary, two are obligatory. The burnt offering, the peace offering, and the meat or cereal offering, grain offering, were voluntary offerings to God. These were sacrifices made to God, as Russell talked about, from the free will. Not required, not obligatory, but rather voluntary. And sometimes spontaneous, even, was the idea. But the obligatory offerings of the sin offering and the trespass offering were important in order to keep peace with God, to be reconciled to God, to have our sin atoned for under the old covenant. And so those were two non-voluntary offerings. They were obligatory. So what we're going to talk about this morning is the peace offering, and particularly, more specifically, the offering of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving that was contained within the peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3 talks about the peace offering, and then Leviticus chapter 7 talks about it again with specific focus on three aspects of the peace offering. One, and the primary focus, was the idea of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Another one was the idea of keeping a vow before God, and when you kept a vow or made a vow before God, you would offer up a peace offering to Him. And then just simply spontaneous free will offerings, peace offerings to God, because the heart moved you to so do. And so this is part of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. Again, not obligatory, but voluntary. And you can imagine that the peace offering was always an offering in which people had a heart for God. Why else would they offer up these sacrifices to God? They came willingly with their doves or their animals, their bread that they had baked and so on, and they offered them willingly to God because they loved God, because of the peace that God had made with between Him and them. And so it was called the peace offering. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 11. And let's notice that within this peace offering is called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And He says in verse 11 of Leviticus 7, "This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour well mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with loaves of leavened bread. And from it he shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift," or heave offering in the King James and New King James versions calls it a heave offering. We'll talk about that in a moment. "It shall belong to the priest who throws the blood or sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until the morning." So there it is, in a nutshell, God's law on how to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So what do we learn from this law? I think we have to realize that in the Old Testament, when God makes laws, He has reasons for making those laws. And it's very important for us to look into those laws and just try to discern what God is trying to communicate with these laws, to get the spiritual message out of the laws that God gives. All of the Old Testament sacrificial system is a type and a shadow of what God accomplished in Jesus Christ. So it's good for us to look at the spiritual meaning in these laws. So I'm going to take some opportunity this morning to dig out from these five verses that we have here some points that God may in fact be intending to communicate to us that are spiritual in nature for us to think about and to be aware of. And so we're going to hopefully provide some value to Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. So that when you look back at that passage of Scripture in your daily Bible reading someday, you'll come across Leviticus 7, 11 through 15. You'll give it a little bit of pause, maybe. And you'll remember maybe some of the things that we talk about this morning that God perhaps wants to communicate to us through this law that He gave to the Old Testament Israelites. First of all, it was not a separate offering, but it was a peace offering. So let's focus on that for just a moment. This is the sacrifice of thanksgiving is within the context of a peace offering to God. And so the peace offering in the Old Testament pictures how Christ satisfied the wrath of God against sin and made peace between God and man, something that Russell did a very good job of pointing us to this morning at the Lord's table. And so the idea of peace with God is carried through in the New Testament as well as in the, but primarily in the New Testament, you see the emphasis of the peace that we have with God made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, for example, that through Christ, God reconciled to Himself. The idea of reconcile means to make peace, to bring together, to unify back. So we're separated from God, we're in hostility with God, we have enmity with God because of our sins, but through Christ, God reconciled to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, declared innocent, justified, declared righteous, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul would start most of his epistles that way. Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Peace is a primary concept of the New Testament. And our relationship with God is dependent upon God having made peace between us and Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way, as Russell did such a good job of explaining this morning, it's the only way that we could be at peace with God is for the price of sin to be paid. And Jesus paid that price for us through His death and His burial and His resurrection. And we now have the opportunity through faith to be justified and at peace with God. But I think also in this passage, this peace offering, it does definitely focus primarily on that concept, but it also, I think, brings to mind in our lives the inner peace that God wants us to have because we have a relationship with Him. So I want to talk about that for just a minute in connection with this sacrifice. This is a peace offering. It brings to our mind the idea of peace, the inner peace that we have in our souls, in our hearts, in this life, on a day-to-day basis with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 15, and be thankful. God wants us to be at peace in our hearts, and that is a very difficult thing to do in this sinful world in which we live. Amen? It's hard to do that, because there's so much turmoil all around us. There's so many things that we wish were different in this life. There's so many sorrows and difficulties oftentimes in this life. And we could list them. You know, start with sickness. It's hard to be at peace sometimes when you're burdened down with pain and suffering. It's hard to be optimistic sometimes when you're just dealing with problems all the time, it seems. And this life is filled with them. And not to mention the loss, the sense of loss that we have in this life with our loved ones oftentimes. Whether they're away from God and fallen away from the faith, or whether they're gone from this world because they passed on. Whatever it may be, there's a lot of reason for turmoil in our hearts in this world. And just looking out at the news, which is a horrible thing to do these days, it seems, because we have so much access to it, it's just full of turmoil. And yet we're commanded to have peace. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts and be thankful. And then he says in Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I simply want to take note of the connection here with thanksgiving. Both of those passages that talk about the peace of God ruling in our hearts, or the peace of God that passes all understanding, are connected with thanksgiving. And I will say that I believe, according to these scriptures and many others, that peace is impossible in this world without the spirit of thanksgiving. Because the spirit of thanksgiving focuses in on what God has blessed us with, what things we have that we can enjoy, what things that we can praise God for, what things that are blessings that we wouldn't have without Him. And when we set our mind and our hearts on those things, on being thankful, then it seems like it minimizes those other things in our lives to a great degree. It keeps our spirit alive. It keeps us from being depressed, from being anxious, worried. And there's so much to that, I think, in the idea of thanksgiving. When you start to thank God for things in your life, even when you're faced with difficulties, what does it do? It seems to me what it does is it reminds you that God is there. He is blessing us. I can trust Him. He does do good. He does help. All those positive thoughts that strengthen the heart. And that's where thanksgiving is so important in the life of a Christian on a daily basis. That's what we need to remember, that this is not a yearly occurrence. This is a daily occurrence, an all-day occurrence for the Christian. Keep moving on in the text here. Notice that in verse 12, it talks about this multiple offering of unleavened loaves, unleavened wafers, and loaves of fine flour. So you're not just offering the animal. You're also offering these loaves, and there's different types of loaves, and it's a multiple offering. Now, I don't know if this is the intended point to get out of that or not, but it occurred to me that when the Bible says give thanks in everything, or give thanks for all things, that maybe this idea of a multiple offering with the sacrifice of thanksgiving signifies the idea that not only are there multiple blessings that we should be thankful for, but we should be thankful even for the things that happen to us in our lives that are not what we want, or that are things that are not helpful to us. Problems, tribulations, sorrows. Now that to me is a lot harder to do, but it's clearly taught in the scriptures that we are to be thankful even in our tribulations, even in our difficulties, we're to be joyful. Perhaps the best example of that I can think of is Paul, when in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he was talking about how this thorn in the flesh had been given to him, and three times he'd asked the Lord to take it away from him. And the Lord's answer was, no, I'm not going to take it away from you, because power is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul's response to that is, therefore I will be well content with infirmities, with distresses, with insults, with problems, with tribulations. Therefore I will be well content with those things, because when I am weak, then I am strong. To me, that is a fundamentally powerful concept that can help you get through those tribulations in a way that nothing else can. Imagine being thankful or joyful for having all of your possessions taken from you and you've been dragged out of your house and thrown in prison. And that's exactly what happened to the Jews in the New Testament. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it says they joyfully accepted the seizure of their property. How else could they do that other than recognizing that in all things God is working, that in all things God can use those things together for good, that in God's mindset and His way of looking at things, He's not as concerned about your pleasures and your comforts in this life as He is about strengthening your spirit and your soul so that you can make it to the end, so that you can get to heaven and be with Him for all eternity. And if that's what happens in your life, and it's bad, and it's hard, and it's difficult, then we can still be thankful for that. Because we understand what God's purposes are, and we trust Him, and we recognize that He's working, because we're thinking about those things. Because we're being trained to think that way. Remember, we talk about that all the time, that we're to be transformed in the renewing of our mind. It's all about how we think about things. People in the world don't get that if they haven't thought about these things the way Christians think about them, because of the way God trains them to think. They don't get it. They don't have it. They don't understand it. They may even mock it or scoff at it. But for you and me, it's everything to get through this life in peace, with a thankful heart, with a joyful spirit, even in the face of all the difficulties that we may have. Isn't that reason to glorify God and give Him thanks that He gives us that kind of strength? Mercy. Mercy. The things that people go through in this life, I haven't even touched the hem of the garment in my life in terms of bad things happening to me. I can't even fathom sometimes what people go through and the way they deal with it in faith and in peace and in joy with thanksgiving is just an awesome spectacle that encourages me deeply and greatly. And I appreciate the faith of my brethren so much as they go through difficulties and trials with thanksgiving in their hearts. Thirdly, this is something that I found unusual here. This is the only sacrifice that requires leavened bread. It requires an animal sacrifice and unleavened bread, unleavened wafers. But then in verse 13, it talks about offering up leavened bread. And there's nothing in the Scriptures like that that God requires. In fact, in Leviticus 2, when he's talking about the burnt offerings and the guilt offerings, he's talking about no leaven. No leaven whatsoever in the offering. But all of a sudden, you come to Leviticus 7, and God's saying, I want leavened bread too. So I had to think about that. And I read a little bit about that, and people have various ideas. Some of them were pretty far-fetched and a little bit weird as to why God did this. But I came back to the idea that unleavened bread is called the bread of affliction in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 3. It was called the bread of affliction because the Jews were to make unleavened bread because they were going to be in a hurry to leave Egypt, and God was going to send a death angel, and they were going to rush out of Egypt. And so don't put any leaven in your bread. Why not? Because it takes time to rise and so on, and you need to prepare for your trip immediately. And so it was called the bread of affliction because Israel is going to be afflicted in that departure as they left and in the wilderness and so on. Bread of affliction. Is it possible then that God asks for an offering of leavened bread in the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Because He's drawing a contrast between the unleavened and the leaven and saying, not only do I want your bread of affliction, but I want you to realize that you have been blessed with the bread of no affliction. You've been blessed with the goodness that I've given you. I've given you leavened bread. I've made your life fill. And leaven is an agent that bubbles up and ferments and flows through something. And so maybe it represents that concept of gratitude, bubbling up, fervent, bubbling up, overflowing gratitude in this sacrifice that God required. That's the best I could do with that one. But it is unusual that God requested leavened bread as well. And here's the passage, verse 14, where it talks about a heave offering to the Lord, which in our vernacular, we don't understand that. We don't even know what that means. The ESV calls it a gift to the Lord. But I think the idea there is more than that. It's more than just a gift. It carries the idea of being thrown up, so to speak, to God. It was given with lifted arms up to God, held up to God, a heave offering to the Lord. The wave offering was waved over the sacrifice. So you had the heave offering and the wave offering, and the heave offering was usually the breast of the animal, and the wave offering was the thigh of the animal. And people have speculated on the significance of the difference there between the throwing up the hand, so to speak, and offering to God versus waving it over the sacrifice. And I won't get into that. But I did think that it was important to recognize two things from this idea of this heave offering. First of all, this particular offering, this heave offering, this offering that was held up to God like this, was specifically designed to be given to the priest. Specifically for the priests. So I thought maybe there was a good point to be made about that. This offering of thanksgiving and the offering itself being given to the priests. Perhaps a connection there showing how our gratitude, our thanksgiving, blesses others. This offering was to the Lord. We offered our thanksgiving to the Lord. They did in their sacrifice, the heave offering. But the blessing came to the priests, and God ordained it so. This is what you give to the priests. And so, whether that's intended by God in that message or not, it's simply true. As I said earlier, when you are thankful to God and you show that kind of joy and you show that kind of spirit, even in the face of difficulties and hardships, do you think it doesn't bless your brethren? Do you think it doesn't carry over? Do you think people don't see that in you and are not encouraged? And not motivated by you to be ever more grateful themselves for what they have in their lives? I know that's true, regardless of whether that was intended by the symbolism here or not. Hebrews chapter 13. Through him, then, let us continually, verse 15, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I think that's the idea of the heave offering, as you hold up your hands to God, as you offer that up to God, God is well pleased with such sacrifices of thanksgiving. He receives those an affection towards you, a gratitude back towards you, so to speak. You bless God. You bring joy to God. You make God happy. With such sacrifices, he is well pleased in our spirit of thanksgiving. Here's one more, and this one we've already touched on, so I won't touch on it much at all. But these sacrifices had to be offered with the blood of the peace offering. And so ultimately, it always comes back to that. When we are thankful to God, what are we most thankful for? We're most thankful for the fact that we have a relationship with Him based upon the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we offer up praise and thanksgiving to God, we are acknowledging that relationship we have with Him because of the blood that paid the price for our sins. Just a couple of more quick ones. This is significant to me. In verse 15, this is the one sacrifice that's offered up to God that becomes a meal for everybody together. In verse 15, it talks about how the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. So that day, instead of burning up the whole animal like they usually did with the burnt offering or the trespass offering, the guilt offering, and so on, instead of burning up the whole animal, what they would do, what the priest would do, is they'd have the breast as the heave offering that went to the priest, the thigh as the wave offering that went to the priest, and the rest of the animal, minus the fat and the blood, would be eaten by the one who brought it and offered it. So he sits down after the sacrifice is made, and he eats with the priests, he and his family. They eat a common meal together, sharing in the peace and the thanksgiving that they have with God. So I saw the symbolism in that pretty quickly, as I'm sure you did as well. Why do we gather together on the Lord's Day? To break bread every first day of the week. To join together in thanksgiving because of the peace we have with God. And we eat this meal together. And all of us are priests, according to the New Testament scriptures. We're all blessing one another with our gratitude and our thanksgiving. And we have this fellowship with God and with each other because of the peace we have with Christ. And then finally, I think this is an important one. I think this is definitely intended. I have, you know, admitted that at certain parts of this, I'm not sure about the symbolism, but I think I'm pretty sure about this symbolism here. This is a specific law that God said, "You shall eat of this sacrifice of thanksgiving on the day it was offered." Now, other peace offerings, you could go another day and eat of it, and on the third day it had to be completely burned up if it wasn't gone. But the thanksgiving offering, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, was different. You had to eat it that day and leave none of it till the morning. So you probably can figure that one out for yourself. What's the message? Every day. Every day, a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving, super important. To not let a day go by, so to speak, without that heart of gratitude and thanksgiving toward God. For all of the reasons we've talked about in our lesson this morning, and probably many more that I haven't been able to touch on today, in terms of generosity that thanksgiving produces in us, and so on. But we've touched on a lot of them this morning. All of these reasons that God commands us and insists upon us being thankful to Him have such an impact on us every single day. So, do all things without grumbling or disputing, Paul said, right? Well, how are you going to do that? Because there's plenty to grumble about and plenty to dispute about. One way you do that is you maintain a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving to God on a daily basis. And let not a day go by without that spirit in your heart. And you can be joyful even in trials and tribulations and even in difficulties. Even when life beats you up pretty bad. And even when you got sorrows in your heart over circumstances and things that you have to deal with. There's so much to be grateful for and thankful to God for. Appreciate your good attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song in just a second here, and we just want you to have the opportunity, if you want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, we stand ready to help you to do that. If you know what you need to do, then you should take advantage of this opportunity this morning. If you don't know what you need to do to be forgiven of your sins, we would like to offer the opportunity to study with you and to see what the Bible has to say about that, because it is the most important thing in our lives. Or if you're already a Christian and you'd like to request the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.